The 32nd Story, The Call to Battle. Now rise up and get you over the watercourse of Zered. This was Moses' call one morning to the host of Israel as they gathered from their tents at the sound of the trumpet blast. The opportunity had come. They might leave forever the desert country of the wilderness. They could see a pretty little brook of running water with overhanging willows before them. And see, said Moses, on the other side are fields of waving wheat and corn, and all sorts of good things to eat and to do, and it is near the promised land. The larger number of the Hebrews who had started from Egypt many years before had died in the wilderness. Braver men and better trained soldiers were now in Moses' army. While they had lived in the wilderness, they had grown strong. They did not fret as they used to do, but had learned to endure hard things. Moses felt sure his mighty men could now go forward to possess the land. So it was that on this morning the trumpet blew and Moses sounded his call, "Now rise up and get you over the watercourse of Zered." It was a little brook to cross, but it was a great step to take, for by it and the passing of another river, they crossed into an enemy's land. The ark moved forward, the people followed. They waded across easily and were soon encamped in the valley that spread out on the farther side. The next step was to cross the river Arnon. They saw it rushing down the sandstone rocks and separating the cultivated fields of Moab from the wild mountains of Edom. They knew they must push on and over it. Often in the days gone by, when the cloud that overshadowed the tabernacle lifted and the people prepared for the breaking up of camp, that little song floated on the clear air of the desert. Rise up, Jehovah, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. So now they sang their songs of victory and went forward. And at evening, as their march ended and they rested in their tents, the low singing of another little song was often heard. Return, O Jehovah, unto the 10,000s of the thousands of Israel. Over the river Arnon they went, and there they spread their tents. Moses then decided to send a message to Sihon, king of the Amorites, such as he had sent to the king of Edom. This was the message. Let us pass through thy land. We will not turn aside into field or into vineyard. We will not drink of the water of thy wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through thy border. But King Sihon was afraid of the Israelites. As soon as he received the message, he said no. He would not let them advance. He marched down with a strong force of men to the river Arnon. The Israelites saw him coming and they decided to go to battle. Bravely, the host of Israel took their stand and withstood the onslaught of the Amorites. As Moses saw his men were getting the better of the fight, he led his forces forward. A fierce battle followed. The Israelites won a great victory. In after days, they remembered the river Arnon and talked with each other of what happened there. In the book of the wars of Jehovah, they told with pride of what he did in the flags by the riverside and in the torrents of Arnon and at the pouring forth of the brooks that goeth down to the dwellings of Ar and lieth on the borders of Moab. After this victory, the men of Israel went on from point to point. They captured a number of cities. Their first success made them strong and courageous, and soon they took possession of all of Sihon's country. And the Israelites destroyed many of the places by fire. In a triumphant song they sang, "We have shot at them. Heshbon is perished. We have laid them waste even unto Nophah, with fire even unto Medeba." As they traveled on, they came to a well of sparkling water, which has since become famous, partly so because of a sweet little song they sang about it. The sight of a well or fountain of fresh water always made them glad. This one was dug either by some of the princes of the tribe when they were in need of water, or by some earlier chieftains in whose praise they sang. As the women went down to get water, they would sing, "Spring up, O well, sing ye to it, to the well which the princes dug, which the nobles of the people delved with the scepter and with their staves." And the children would echo, "Spring up, O well, sing ye to it, to the well which the princes dug." But they did not linger long in these pleasant places. The promised land was always calling them to go forward, and they had more to conquer on the east side of the Jordan before they went across the river. So on they went by way of Bashan. This they found was a beautiful place and an important one on that side of the Jordan River. It was near Gilead, that place of sweet spices, balm, and myrrh of which we have heard. As they entered Bashan, they saw on one side a stony tract of land full of rocks and big boulders. As they looked on the other side, a fine picture was before their eyes. Forests of oak trees, such as they had never seen, were over yonder. In front of these were fields of waving corn, and here and there they could see the dark, rich green of the olive trees. Far off in the distance was the snow-covered Mount Hermon. It was a new sight to these wanderers, and a very pleasant one. Some of them liked the land so much, they were tempted to settle on it. But somebody else was there. A great and mighty king was at the head of a large body of people already settled there. Og, the king of Bashan, was the son of a race of giants. He was mightier than the other chiefs round about. As soon as he heard that the Israelites were there, he made ready for war. He stationed his people on the rocky heights and in the shelter of the rocks of Edrei to await their coming to this point. God spoke to Moses, saying, "Fear not, Og, king of Bashan, for I have delivered him and all his people into thy hand." So Moses encouraged his men to go out and meet this giant. The archers with their bows and arrows and the slingers with their stones shot to the left and right, and the spearsmen and the swordsmen fiercely smote the people of Bashan until there was none left to fight. They utterly destroyed the cities with the people that were within, but the cattle they saved for their own use. God is a God of peace rather than of war. But he is a wise God, and he knows that it is better for his people to help work out their own problems. So instead of performing a miracle that they might pass undisturbed through the land, he helped them to do so in their own way,